Welcome to the Journey Women podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Bulis. Wherever you are on your journey to glorify God, we are so glad you're here. On the Journey Women podcast, we will come alongside you in the seasons and challenges of life to move you to know and love God in His Word, to find your hope in the gospel, and to invest deeply in your local church as you go out on mission for the glory of God. We are smack dab in the middle of our Back to the Basics series in which we are talking about practicing the rhythms of God's grace. Today, my friend Blair Lynn is helping us think biblically about the topic of prayer. If you don't know her, Blair Lynn is the author of Finding My Father. She's a Bible teacher, an actress, spoken word artist, and the creator of the podcast Glow with the Gospel Coalition. Blair has toured globally and is known as one of the originators of the Christian spoken word genre. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through speaking and spoken word is her passion, and you're going to hear that come through in our conversation today. She and her husband, Shylin, live in Portland, Oregon with their three children. I can't wait to share this conversation with you all, but before we go there, I want to say a big thank you to those of you who support Journey Women Ministries by donating to the podcast. With your help, we are coming alongside more women to move them to know and love God, and we are so grateful. If you'd like to help us, you can do so at journeywomen.org/give. Welcome back to the Journey Women podcast, Blair.
Hey, what's up? It's good to be with you again, Hunter.
Oh my goodness. I genuinely always love being in your presence. And I got to tell you that the last time I was in your presence, we had the opportunity to pray together, which is what inspired me to ask you to speak on this very topic, because I don't know about you, but I found that time so encouraging. Like, we could have kept going for hours, probably.
Yes, we could have. Absolutely. It's always wonderful to pray with you and just be in your presence. Be able to fellowship together. So
I agree. The Lord has used you greatly to encourage me in my walk with Him. And I know He's used you in so many other people's lives too, Blair. You are an author. You're a spoken word poet. Do you call it artist or poet?
A poet. Yes, spoken word poet.
Spoken word poet. Many of you probably have heard of Shylin, who is your husband, who also does so many wonderful artistic things, but you've probably listened to him on Spotify. One of the things that you're doing right now, I just found to be so encouraging, is family discipleship workshops. Tell me about how those are going.
Yeah, those are going great. You know, my husband and I, we have a heart for family worship. You know, both of us are coming from single parent homes, not necessarily Christian homes. So we didn't have that growing up, but it's been something that I was introduced actually a couple months before I got married. I lived with a family. It was the first time gathering around a table and seeing this guy from Texas with his pull out his guitar, you know, with like cowboy boots and all, and just invite me in to worship with his family. And so we kind of created those patterns and rhythms with our family when it was just Shy and I. And then as the family has grown, expanded with three kids, they've been brought up in this family worship. So we have a heart for it, and we have an opportunity to now share that with others through these conferences. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do it. And I love serving with my husband too. So that, you know, it's kind of a treat, you know, for me.
Absolutely. Well, it would be such a treat to get to go. Where are you guys doing the conferences? Are they all kind of up in the Northeast, or have you gone south yet? I need you to come south.
Right. Yeah, we will make our way south. Right now, it's only been here in the Pacific Northwest so far. So we just started them, but they're expanding. And so we want to take it wherever the Lord would allow it to go. So yeah, so you can have us come on out to the south.
Okay.
To your church.
I would love that. My church is very small, but I will talk to the pastor about that.
That would be great.
I love that. And I know one of the components that you put into practice in those kind of family discipling workshops is to encourage your kids to pray. And so I think one of the most helpful things that we can do when we're trying to think back to the basics, which is our current series right now, just like thinking about going back to those basic rhythms that just really help us stay tethered to God's grace, is to define them simply. So can you help us get a good definition for what prayer is?
Yes, just very simply put, I think prayer is communicating with God, right? Making your requests known to God. And, to kind of expand on that a little bit, I think it's the primary way that believers, we release the depths of our heart, right, while making our request. And so it's not manifesting, all these things we hear today, it's not magic, it's not accessing this genie lamp or even like forcing God to do something, speaking things into existence. We're not demanding God to do what we want. But we're just making our requests known to him. And that I think can look many ways. It could be a wrestling with God, like Jacob. I think it could be expressing our longings, our pleas, our praise, right? Our thanksgiving. We can confess our sin to God. We can lament. We can sometimes pray in silence. We see that with Hannah in the scripture. So I think all of these ways, and probably others that I've left out, they are all just requests in faith to God. So that's kind of simply put, a request in faith to God.
I love how that models our dependence on the Lord. And
Yes.
I think so often it's a great barometer for me. How much am I actually relying on the Lord? Like, am I looking to God through prayer by expressing those requests? And if not, it's usually an indicator that I am working things out on my own, which is a huge issue because as Christians, we believe that we are only brought to God through Christ. So, like, we can do nothing apart from him, right? So,
That's
talk to me
right.
about how prayer is made possible by the gospel and how it's really an expression of humility and dependence on the Lord.
It's interesting. When I was a child, there was a verse that I was taught. I didn't know the reference back then, but it's Psalm 34, which says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to the cry of his people," right? And why is that? Why is the Lord attentive? And why is he looking at the righteous? Well, we know, as you just said, it's not because of our own righteousness. We are heard because of Jesus's righteousness. That is clear in the text. When we go back even to Genesis, we see mankind made in the image of God. And one of the things they're doing is they're communing with God, right? God is communing with Adam and Eve. They're talking with him, they're listening to him. And then what happens? Well, then they began listening and talking to someone else, right? So they began talking to the enemy, the serpent, and mankind falls from the glory of God. They disrupt their fellowship with God because of their sin. And God, in his mercy, he creates this plan to say, "I'm going to restore mankind back to relationship with me." And so I'm going to do that through sending my son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh, into this world, right? So he's fully divine, fully human, comes into this world to show us how to rely upon the Father. And we see that through his prayers. We see that through his obedience, even when he goes to the cross, right? So before the cross, he's praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. And he's praying to God, in the midst of this great suffering that he knows is to come. And he's going to the cross, not because he has sinned, but because he's going to stand in the place of us sinners, right? So that we can have access to God. And I just think it's so beautiful that, he doesn't remain dead, right? The same, this power of the Holy Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead is what now fills the believer, raises us up, allows us to have fellowship with God. And not only do we have fellowship with God, that fellowship looks like something, which means like we can now talk to God. Right? We can call on his name. We receive a new type of speech because we've received a new type of heart. A changed heart, right, produces a changed speech. And so now we talk to God, and that's our desire. And we can be heard because of Jesus, right? Because of the gospel, because of his righteousness. When we cry out, God listens. And he listens like a father listens to his child, right? He's not just tolerating us. Like, he wants to hear from us. you know, in 2020, I met my biological father for the very first time, right before the pandemic shut down. And I wrote about that and finding my father. Well, a few months before I met him, my mom sent me a picture of him in text. And I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything about him, Hunter. But wow. I looked at him and I saw myself. I was like, these are my features. It was so wild, right? But I think many of us are like that with God, though. We've been made in his image, right? We are his child. We kind of have a picture of who he is, but we don't yet know him well. We don't talk with him. And the gospel changes that, right? We now can pray. We can know our Father. Mm. We can pray to him in the name of God the Son through the power of God the Spirit. So praise God for the gospel, because God hears us because of that.
I love how Blair talked about coming to know God more and more through prayer, and the privilege that it is that we have been granted access to God through prayer because of the gospel and the work of Jesus. What a grace that is! There's a poem from the Valley of Vision, which is a little prayer book that would be such a great help to anyone who needs a springboard for their own prayers. And this poem so beautifully articulates the heart behind prayer. I'm going to take a minute to read it to you, and I hope it helps you to see all the more what a beautiful gift of grace prayer is to us, a gift that presses us more and more into the Father's heart. In prayer, I launch far out into the eternal world, and on that broad ocean, my soul triumphs over all evils on the shores of mortality. Time, with its gay amusements and cruel disappointments, never appears so inconsiderate as then. In prayer, I see myself as nothing. I find my heart going after thee with intensity, and long with vehement thirst to live to thee. Blessed be the strong gales of the Spirit that speed me on my way to the New Jerusalem. In prayer, all things here below vanish, and nothing seems important but holiness of heart and the salvation of others. In prayer, all my worldly cares, fears, anxieties disappear and are of as little significance as a puff of wind. In prayer, my soul inwardly exults with lively thoughts at what thou art doing for thy church, and I long that thou shouldst get thyself a great name from sinners returning to Zion. In prayer, I am lifted above the frowns and flatteries of life and taste heavenly joys. Entering into the eternal world, I can give myself to thee with all my heart to be thine forever. In prayer, I can place all my concerns in thy hands, to be entirely at thy disposal, having no will or interest of my own. In prayer, I can intercede for my friends, ministers, sinners, the church, thy kingdom to come, with greatest freedom, ardent hopes, as a son to his father, as a lover to the beloved. Help me to be all prayer and never to cease praying.
I think, you know, prayer has not been as precious to me, Blair, as I think it ought to be. Like throughout, if you look at the spectrum of kind of my walk with the Lord, you know, there was a time in my life where like my suffering was so great. Even as you were describing like Jesus and his prayers, I'm like, wow, if prayer is precious to Jesus, it ought to be precious to me.
Because
you better believe I needed a lot more. But when you're describing those moments of Christ suffering, even just how he cried out to the Lord. And I think the Lord has really used suffering in my life to help me rely on him through prayer and to bring such comfort to me through prayer. I'd love to hear from you when prayer really became precious to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially, I would say it was when my faith became my own. You know, first of all, you know, it's that very first prayer that we all pray, you know. So yes. I remember when I was learning about God. Now, I was raised in the church, but, you know, I was learning more about God and specifically like how he views our heart and the fact that nothing is hidden from him. You know, I think as I look back, like so much of my life was hidden and not from God, of course. He's all knowing, but hidden from me, You know, I think because of the rules that I established in my life, the discipline I had, the self-righteousness, the morality, you know, there are two ways to run from God. Some people run towards immorality. I ran towards morality, thinking I was okay, and often comparing myself to other people. And so to learn that God can see my heart, and it's not that he's going to compare me to someone else, right? But that Christ is the standard, you know, like that just, it just transformed my understanding. And I remember as I felt the weight of my sin for the first time, I remember praying. And I must admit, I can't say like I went into that prayer with a whole bunch of faith. I can't say like I went knowing even what the outcome would be. I went really in a state of hopelessness, feeling overwhelmed by my sin, recognizing that even though I made a profession of faith so many years ago, like I never saw that I was dead in my sins and transgression. Like I just didn't think I was that bad. And so for the first time realizing, like God's wrath is real. And it's pointed at me. Like I deserve God's wrath. I remember praying, listing out, just kind of confessing my sins. Like I've done this and I've done this and like just overwhelmed. And while in prayer, there was a truth that hit me like a semi-truck. And this truth was that my sins was the very reason why I needed a savior. And I remember realizing for the very first time why the good news is good. Mm-hmm. You know, why I needed a savior, why Jesus had to come, because I couldn't save myself. And that just, I would just say that that prayer, of course, you know, that first prayer is what changed everything in my life. And I would say since then, certainly there have been moments, you know, as you've said, Hunter, where I've experienced intense suffering. I think I've been certainly more aware of my neediness, which has drawn me to a greater sense of prayer. And I've asked God to help me, you know, when things are quote unquote going well, you know, help me not to lose sight of that, right? I don't want to just be reliant and dependent when like it's like times are really hard, you know? Yes. Like I want to be able to commune with you when things are really going great, you know, or mundane, right? When it's not like the high highs or the low lows. And so, so I'm still learning that, of course. But yeah, so I'm grateful for just God's mercy and how he's so patient with us as we're learning and maybe even stumbling at times along, you know?
Life is crazy sometimes, and finding time to sit down and read the Bible can be difficult. That is why I love Dwell. When I can't find time to read the Bible, I can listen to it. The voices reading the Bible are soothing. They're not your normal narrators. Plus, you can choose calming background music and adjust the pace of the narrator's voice to get things just right. Dwell's newest release is called Dwell Daily, a fresh, thoughtfully crafted devotional that immerses you in the Word, allowing you to pray it, meditate on it, and so much more. If you're looking to deepen your engagement with the Bible this year, Dwell Daily is worth checking out. I cannot recommend Dwell enough to help you orient your mind to the life-giving Word of God throughout your day. Go to dwellbible.com/journeywomen to receive your 25% discount today. Again, that's dwellbible.com/journeywomen for your 25% discount to subscribe and spend time in God's Word. I think for me, just even thinking about kind of some of the aspects of prayer that you were referencing, like confession, you know, that has been such a helpful way for me to see the significance of prayer in my life. It relieves such a burden when I come to the Lord and confess my sins to him and just receive the grace that he's extended to me through his son, Jesus. So talk to me about the significance of prayer in the life of a believer. Like, how does God use it in our relationship with him to draw us nearer to himself and to help us to persevere as we continue to navigate life on this side of eternity, really?
Yeah. So, you know, even as I mentioned that first prayer, right, that first moment of confession that we all have. And I do think it's important that, you know, when we think about a baby, for example, entering into the world, right? everybody's waiting for the baby to cry, you know, right?
Yes.
We're waiting for that first cry, because when the baby cries, it shows that there's signs of life, right? And I think each of us at our moment of conversion, it started off with a cry, a prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you were 4 years old or 84 years old, right? When you came to the Lord, you had that first moment. But of course, it doesn't stop there, right? We confess with our mouth, right? That Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, but it doesn't stop there. Prayer then becomes a discipline, right? It's a spiritual discipline. God allows believers to cooperate with him in the execution of his will, right? He allows us, you know, which I think is just amazing that this is God, right? But he converts people and he says, you know, I'm going to use people in the process of conversion when he doesn't have to. He can convert people, you know, on his own. But he says, I'm going to use you. You pray for this person, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, or a person who's dealing, let's say, with an illness, right? He could just heal that person miraculously. But there are moments where he says, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to intercede for this person. Or the person, let's say they don't have a meal, right? And we pray, Lord, would you provide our daily bread, right? Now, God could do that all miraculously apart from us. But he says, I want you to be included in this process. And I do think that there's a sense of dignity in that we're able to collaborate in a way in this divine work. I also see that the Lord in his mercy, even as you talked about confession, you know, him setting up ordinances in church. So there are all kinds of means of grace that we have.
Yeah.
One that I think of is communion. You know, and in communion, you know, we take that time, we reserve it, you know, to reflect on our life, right? To make sure there's no, you know, kind of before we're giving our gift in a sense, you know, that there's no ill between us and our neighbor, right? That there's nothing hindering us and God, that we have these short records, right? Sin accounts. And so it's a moment to reflect and say, God, would you show me ways that I've sinned? And, you know, I think for some people, their sin is much more prominent, like their sin goes before them and they're more aware of their sin. I think there's some people who might struggle a bit with seeing their sin, but can still come and say, God, would you reveal my heart, areas of growth that's needed? What do I need to put off? What do I need to put on? And God is faithful to do that as a means of sanctification so that we'll look more like him. So those are some of the ways, you know, I see prayer working in our lives. It's a way that God uses to make us more holy.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I've experienced that a lot too, even as, like I was saying, like when you think about the different spiritual disciplines, like I just so gravitate towards Bible study. That's just my, you know, some people kind of gravitate towards prayer. I gravitate towards grabbing the Bible. I often forget that I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help as I read his word to actually be able to understand it. So I think maybe that's why I've experienced so much sadness and suffering in my life, is because the Lord knows, like, hey, I got to remind this girl, like, she needs me to be able to even understand my word. But as I've studied his word by his grace, when I am able to uncover the message, you know, that was intended for me today, I often walk away with a lot of application points for prayer. Like, I am able to see very clearly how I'm falling short and how much I need God's help. So he's gracious to me in that way. So prayer is often driven from my study of God's word. Talk to me a little bit about how scripture informs how we're to pray and how you use God's word as a springboard in your own prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, clearly scripture has a lot to say about prayer. We could be here all day. We won't be. So just talk a little bit about some of what it says. But I think first, you know, scripture tells us who we're praying to, which is really important, right? We need to know who our God is. What's his character like, right? How does he interact with his children, right? And so, you know, I think through seeing how he interacts in scripture, we can know how we are to approach him. One of the things I've realized is that, you know, prayer transcends all genres in the Bible. You know, we often think of, like, of course, the Psalms, right? We think of the Psalms as prayers or hymns, but it's everywhere, Hunter, right? You know, I mean, everywhere we look. whether that's the narrative, whether that's
the introduction,
epistles, right? The introduction, right? Exactly. The gospels, et cetera. And so, you know, just knowing that, you know, prayer is something that it's assumed that Christians will do it, right? That prayer will be a regular habit for us. And so there's the parable of the persistent widow, which I love. You know, we talk about this widow who's approaching this judge, who's an unjust judge, asking for a request, right? She wants justice from her adversary. And she kind of just wears down this judge. And even though he's unjust, he listens. You know, one of the things that's interesting is Jesus, he contrasts, right, that judge with God, because he says God is a just judge. But what he tells his disciples at the beginning of that is that the reason that I am telling you this parable is because I want you to pray and not give up. Right. So that's the reason why, right? I want to show you how diligent you ought to be in prayer. Mm-hmm. And he says that, you know, God will hear those who call on him night and day. So there's this expectation that we will be calling on him because he's a just judge. We see that in 1 Peter 2, right? He's, you know, if we call on the one who judges justly, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not only a just judge. He, as I said, he's a loving father, right? So we can call out, Abba. We can call out to him this cry of the child, knowing that he hears us and he desires to give us good gifts. So, you know, Jesus says, right, if we ask him for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. So I think it's knowing God's character that helps inform how we approach him, right? And scripture says that we're to pray often, right? We're to pray without ceasing.
Without ceasing,
right?
This is such a hard conversation for me. I'm like, oh, I feel like the straggler. But I hope that some of the ladies listening will be encouraged by that. That, like, this is just such an encouragement to me, Blair. And I feel so humble in this conversation because it's like, man, we are to pray without ceasing. And this is just such a great reminder to those of us who just really struggle so much with self-reliance and achievement, you know?
Right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think even as you mentioned, you know, oftentimes when we're suffering, I think we feel that the most, we do feel that the most, you know, like, oh, I need to pray because I'm so aware.
There's no other
that
way I
need
I can do
God.
It. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I can't take care of these kids, you know, unless I pray. I can't, you know, yeah. love my husband unless I pray. I can't, you know, I can't read the Bible unless I pray or whatever, you know, is going on. I can't work this job with these people who are driving me wild unless I pray, right?
You got to work it into me, Lord.
Exactly. That's right. So it's like, it's not only in a sense, like us reading the scripture. I think it's like allowing the scripture to read us, you know, it's being made aware in our weakness of our need.
Maybe you've been encouraged by how Blair and Hunter are talking about prayer, but maybe for you, prayer just feels hard or unnatural. Maybe you have a difficult time finding the words to pray, or maybe simply you just find it hard to talk to God that intimately. If that's you, you're not alone. I'd encourage you to consider what Blair and Hunter have been talking about regarding using scripture as a springboard for your prayers. God's word is filled with truths about God's character and his work through Christ. If you're feeling lost in how to pray, simply open God's word or go to the passage you're currently studying for Bible study or in your reading plan and start praying God's words back to him and allowing his words to direct your own. If after that you're still feeling stuck or weary in prayer, I'd encourage you to consider the reality of what is happening spiritually when you pray. It really is incredible. My friends, not only do we have God's word that we can pray in faith back to him, but also we can direct our prayers to God himself, who 1 Peter 3:12 says opens his ears to our prayer, and who 1 John 5:14 says hears us when we pray to him according to his word. We have Jesus, God's son, who Hebrews 7:25 says always lives to intercede for us, lifting our prayers up before the Father. He is our high priest, who Hebrews 4:15 says sympathizes with us in our weaknesses because he too has been tempted as we are. So therefore, we can with confidence draw near to God's throne of grace for mercy and help. And my friends, we have God's very spirit, who Romans 8:26-27 says helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Every member of the Trinity is eager to hear and to help our prayers. So let's, with joy, lift up our prayers to God.
One of the things that I often have thought about, I've had the privilege of praying with a sister in Christ, Johnny Erickson Tada,
yes,
who I know
she's been on here a few times. Yeah.
Yes. And it really kind of changed my life.
Like, I bet.
Right. And we were on this prayer call. We were preparing for this conference. And one of the things that she prayed for, she said, Lord, help me to breathe. That she prayed for the Lord to help her to breathe, you know, open up my lungs so that I can breathe. And I thought about that because I said, the truth is, we all need God to breathe.
Yes.
You know, but we wake up every morning, and because we may not have the needs that she has as pressing as she has them, sometimes mm-hmm. we can forget that we had that need, that we need God to breathe. You know, I've gone through a season of anxiety and panic attacks, and it's
right.
like, I need God to breathe. Like, so suffering, I think, does kind of hone us in on our specific need. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I actually think that's also a means of grace, you know, that God uses in our life. And I think it's a good thing.
What does dinner time look like in your house? Is it a little chaotic and crazy like it is at mine? Let me tell you about PrepDish and how they can help you simplify your evenings. You've probably heard us talk about PrepDish in the past, and maybe you've thought, man, I just don't have time to meal prep. But let me tell you, with PrepDish, meal prepping for the whole week honestly takes just about 1 hour with their super fast plan and about 2 hours for the gluten-free, paleo, and low-carb meal plans. If you need a change in how you handle dinner time at your house, you have got to try PrepDish. You'll serve up delicious meals that your family will love, like green chili burgers, Caesar salmon wraps, and apricot glazed chicken thighs. Right now, the founder, Allison, is offering our listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out. You can't beat that. Check out prepdish.com/journey for this great deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/journey for your first 2 weeks free. I think one of the other things that God greatly uses in my life to push him toward me or draw him to me in prayer is other people, other saints. And you have been one of those for me. And in fact, I feel like the first time I really became like more passionate about prayer happened in the context in which I was able to pray alongside two older saints. And I think I might have asked them, like, hey, can we pray together? And they're like, sure, you're going to have to come over at 5 a.m. on a Monday. And I'm like, okay. So I did, by God's grace, somehow, as a college student. And I remember going down into the basement, and we didn't talk about, you know, what was going on that day. We didn't talk about how we were feeling. We got down on our knees and really cried out to the Lord in prayer and expressed the things that we often express, right, conversationally to one another, to the Lord. And the wonderful byproduct of that was I learned how to pray from listening to them. And we also grew deeper in our relationship with one another because we knew what was going on in each other's lives because we were crying out to the Lord and asking him to intervene and asking him for help in these things. So God has certainly used the prayers of other saints to encourage me in my prayer life. How do you pray with other believers, and how has that impacted your prayer life?
Yeah. So it's looked a lot of different ways, kind of depending upon the season of life. I remember I used to attend a church where they would have prayer 3 times a day.
Wow.
Which is amazing. I know. Yeah. So 6 a.m. prayers, 12 noon, 6 p.m. prayer every
day. But in some traditions, that's like very normal. I mean, I think about like more liturgical traditions, and they have prayers even more than that throughout the day.
Absolutely. That's true. And that's that I can't, my upbringing was more of like a traditional African-American church. And that was just kind of like in the DNA of the church that we would pray. And then once a month, we would have a time of prayer and fasting where the last Thursday of the month, we would, if you wanted, you could stay at the church from Thursday night through Saturday morning and just pray and fast. And you can come and go.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So if you had to go to work, people would go to work and then they would come back after work if they wanted. But really, it was through that, that like encouraged my faith, I think, so much and spurred me on to see.
Did people actually do that, Blair? That's incredible.
People did it, Hunter.
That's amazing.
They did. And I'm telling you, I miss it so much. There's a sister at my church now. I was telling her about that. And she was like, she's an older sister who has really a heart to pray. Every time I see her, she's like, how can I pray for you?
Aww.
And are you speaking? Are you writing? What are you working on? I just want to like lift you up and intercede for you. It's been so sweet. And I told her about that. And so she started hosting not a three times a day prayer, but she's hosting now like a monthly prayer that's a bit extended, which is wonderful. So it's been, you know, through that corporate time of praying that I've learned, I think, how to pray. I've learned also like how to use the word to pray, right? You know, so, you know, to be able to take a passage of scripture and, you know, for example, something like ACTS, which ACTS, you know, is an acronym, A-C-T-S, you know, so adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And this is just one model of prayer, right? So a helpful model for some people. There are many different models. So it's not like the only way, but it's one way. And being able to take something like that, and as you're reading through the text, stop and pray through each of those points. So that has been really helpful. And I just thought like I would look if it's okay to just kind of look at two verses and kind of walk through that real quick.
Because thank you.
I think it's just helpful to kind of get a visual of what it might look like. But Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God," right? So using that ACTS model, we would look at this passage. Let's say, you know, this is my quiet time, right? I've just read the text. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll add on a few more minutes to just reflect on ways I can pray to God. So I'll start with adoration. How can I adore God based upon these two verses? Well, I see here, we're to be an imitator of God. God is the standard, right? He's the source, right? He's the source of virtue and ethics when I read it in context, right? He receives offering here because he's receiving Christ, right? So he must be atoned. So I can say, God, I thank you that you are God, right? There's none beside you, that you are the standard, that all praise and glory and honor belongs to you, right? All goodness comes from you. And then maybe confession, I might look at this passage and see, I'm to be an imitator of God. Well, I am not so good at that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not perfect at all in imitating God. So Lord, would you please forgive me, right, for not imitating you well? Lord, would you forgive me because, you know, I don't believe I'm dearly loved, as it says here in the text. I'm not reflecting upon Christ, right, and walking in him and the love, right, that he has shown to me. Lord, would you help me? You know, Christ has given himself as a fragrant sacrificial offering, and I don't think about that enough, Lord. And I've seen that this impacts my horizontal relationships, Lord. I'm not loving those in my household well, you know. So Lord, would you help me to value you and imitate you? Please forgive me. And then if we were to think about T, which is thanksgiving, right? How do we thank God? Well, I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, because that's here in the text, right? I thank you for loving me. I thank you for making me your child. Thank you that we have a relationship. Thank you that I can pray to you right now. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in me, right? And giving me the ability to imitate you. And the last one there is S, which is supplication. So we might pray something like, Lord, help me to walk uprightly Would you give me the ability to walk in love and show that I belong to you because of your love? So that's just a brief example of taking a passage, and all it takes is a few minutes.
Yeah.
You're using the text to help you walk through a particular model. And it doesn't, again, have to be that model. It could just be asking questions of the text. You know, what does this teach me about God? Is there any way that God is calling me to live differently based upon this text? Is there anything I need to repent of based upon this text? How is God calling me to love those around me based upon this text, etc.? So I think this is more easily done in the epistles, right? The epistles kind of lay it out. I think the Psalms kind of lay it out. I think it is important for us to grow in our biblical literacy when it comes to using the narrative, right? Because sometimes we come across passages, not every promise, not every curse, right, is for us. We don't just say, oh, let me just apply this directly to me as new covenant believers. So I think we may have questions, but I think the epistles is a good place to start. And we do this together. So that older woman in my church, you know, she's now hosting this prayer. So if I'm able to go, I'll go and we'll pray together. This looks like praying through our church directory, praying for, you know, requests as they come up, interceding for the saints. And we're kind of at a new church, so I'm still learning, you know, all the members of the church, but still praying for them and learning to love them, not letting that hinder me from engaging and bearing burdens of those that I'm called, you know, to link up with, you know, in my local church. And so I think bringing people in is so helpful because sometimes prayer can feel really intimidating, you know, or we don't know where to begin. And so saying, would you pray with me? It may be in person. It might be a phone call. It might be, can we just take 10 minutes and just pray together? Pray for not only our local church, not only our own needs, maybe we could pray for the world, right? What's God doing in other parts of the world? What's God doing in other churches, other denominations? I think having maybe a more well-rounded as we grow and seeing the importance of prayer, praying for unbelievers in our lives. So, but doing that together, I know has been a huge encouragement for me.
Yeah, for sure. And I know for some women, like it's such a struggle to be willing to pray in front of other believers because they feel insecure about it. They feel the intimidation factor. They feel like they're inadequate. They feel like they're unable to do it. So what encouragement do you have for the sister who's listening that just feels intimidated to pray by herself or with others?
Well, one of the things I think I would encourage you by is saying that prayer is something that we learn.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember like the disciples when they came to Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. You know, like before the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus gave them this model. I think not feeling like we have to have it all figured out, you know, that like I have to come with all of the language and, you know, we don't have to pray like the Puritans in a sense you know, which I think, you know, we can be encouraged by the Puritans, but I think sometimes we're intimidated because we have this high view of like how we need to approach God or what we need to say. But like Jesus said, it's not about your many words, right? It's about our heart.
Yeah.
And I think over time, just as that baby, as I talked about, learn language, right? Ultimately, you know, starts off with a cry, but then they eventually learn to babble and talk, you know, and communicate. I think it's the same with us. I think giving us ourselves the grace to say, like, I'm going to learn. The more I learn about God, the more I learn about myself, the more I learn about what's going on in the church, right? That's going to inform my prayers and help me. And as a child, we use certain things like we're going to pray around a meal, right? So that was almost like an Ebenezer or like a marker. You know, we're going to say grace. I don't know why we called it grace, but you know, we're going to thank God for this meal, you know, or around bedtime, like we're going to pray a prayer, you know, to ask God to forgive us around bedtime. I think if we maybe even establish certain markers, that could help us, right? An Ebenezer, if you will, of just remembering God's faithfulness to say, oh, when I wake up, I can pray.
In fact, I think that's why so many of the more liturgical traditions, right? Like, I wonder, I haven't studied this in church history, but, you know, they had a rhythm for prayer. And I think, you know, the challenge is it can become a crutch where it becomes ritualistic and we lose the heart of prayer, which you were talking about is conversing with God. But it does serve us to set those rituals up or the rhythms of remembrance throughout our day so that we will regularly be turning to him in prayer. And so I love that. I've been trying to like establish more of that in my own practice, even just confessing my sins to the Lord before going to bed, and then remembering the rest that the gospel brings as I lay my head to rest at night. Things like that can serve us really, really well.
Absolutely.
So, man, I am so grateful. You've already had an impact on my prayer life. I'm going to be like, remember that one time I talked to Blair Lynn in the closet and then prayed a lot more after that? But tell me, who is it that's had a great impact on the way that you talk to God through prayer?
Yeah, I would say so many people, but if I had to narrow down to one, it definitely would be my grandmother. My grandmother, aww, you know, she went home to be with the Lord in 2019, but you know, every time I was around her, I mean, she was the grandmother waking up at 6 a.m, you know, kneeling beside her bed with her King James Bible open, praying. It was just so a part of who she was, always hosting prayer breakfasts. And, you know, she would call her friend Velma and they would pray every morning on Velma. The phone. Velma, yes.
We all need a Velma.
We do. We really do. And what's crazy is, you know, because I was so young, I thought both of them were just older women praying later on after my mom, my grandmother passed. Velma shared with me that my grandmother was discipling her. I had no idea. You know, yes. So just the fruitfulness and the faithfulness of calling up her friends. So that was my very first picture of observing the faith. You know, when I was, I don't know, 3, 7, you know, like, so I'm really thankful. And it's crazy because when she was 90, she was actually diagnosed with dementia. But so the last 6 years of her life were very hard, but she never stopped praying. It was so a part of her DNA. It was so in her that my aunt said she would pray for her grandchildren every day, you know? So it's so sweet. And I just want to say a note, this is total aside. But even as I think about like Timothy and his grandmother and mother bringing him up in the faith,
right?
Let's not neglect the impact that we have, I think, as mothers and grandmothers and the life of our children and grandchildren, because they are watching. They're watching us. And we have such a wonderful opportunity in that they can observe our faith.
Yep.
They can observe our faith. And we pray the Lord would give them a personal faith. Right?
Yes. The dual effect. It's like impacting them, and also the Lord is using it to work in them. That is such an encouragement, friend. I cannot tell you thank you enough for just this. This is the boost I needed. I'm going to go. I got to go. I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes that I have free in my closet in here on my knees.
Amen.
I appreciate you so much. I know so many people would love to continue learning from you. They can find you on Instagram and check everything out in our show notes, because we're going to put your website and stuff where they can connect with you, read your books, and hear the story of God's grace in your life. Thank you for sharing some of that with us today in this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Hunter. Glad to be here with you.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Austin, and I give to Journey Women because I love their intentional focus on the gospel and bringing glory to God in our everyday lives as women. I've listened to Journey Women for almost 7 years, and my faith and theology have grown and deepened, even in the midst of doing laundry, dishes, and raising small children.
We pray that this episode encourages you, just like it encouraged us, to simply talk to God through prayer, maybe even now. If you'd like to learn more from Blair or access any of the resources mentioned in the podcast, you can find them at our Journey Women specific storefront with 10 of those bookstore at the link in our show notes. You can also find all sponsor links and coupon codes mentioned in the podcast at journeywomen.org/sponsors. As always, thanks so much for listening, you guys. It's a joy to get to journey alongside you. Can't wait to see you here next Monday. Have a great week.